A Thought for Your Pennies is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and you can't prove I'm not squatting. Wait.
That is one incredible way to save on rent, Squeaky, and we'll be covering many other ways on how to save on rent in today's episode. So thanks for getting the ball rolling. Before squatting, I was going to suggest something else.
Okay, what were you going to suggest?
Just getting a roommate.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's like a 50% discount.
Yeah, right? Yeah. If you're on your own, you know, you have to pay for the rent and the utilities. But if you have a roommate, and the thing is that most people, when they think of roommates, they think of like some dicey situation that maybe they went through in their 20s. But it's interesting now about how as people retire and are on their own again, they are getting roommates again, but they're not calling it roommates. It's called home sharing.
We call it a polycule.
It's like these stages of life: roommate, polycule, home share.
What I think the big difference is, is when you're like college age, you have to make it work, or you're gonna be homeless. But when you're a little bit older, it's you can do a few months. You can wait until you find the right person. Maybe you've had a couple romantic entanglements where you've been together for a few years and know what an amicable and messy split look like. And, you know, when you're millennial age,
I would have to challenge that because I think a large portion of homeless people are elderly people.
Like, I'm not saying everybody makes it.
Okay.
Right. But I'm saying that if you're a little bit more financially capable, when you choose to pick something, you can pick and choose and find someone compatible.
When you're doing the polycule to home share transition.
You just don't want to discuss it on the numbers.
Okay. Well, here's some financial pros of doing this, right? You split the costs, not just of the utilities, but also, like, you can split groceries, cleaning products, home services. Roommates can also help with upkeep of the place, making it easier to manage chores. You might be able to divide this up by preference, like, you know, one person who loves to shovel the walk, another person loves to do the meal planning. I don't know. And you can also share furniture in the common spaces, making it less expensive to furnish your place.
None of that's wrong. Well, except people who love to shuffle or people who love to do chores. I think it's just if it's a responsible, healthy relationship, because getting roommates or entering into a polycule or a home share is some kind of a relationship.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of us, I think... We just have to share. The transition is like moving from family to roommate. You can raise children to be like responsible roommates. And we've been doing this for a while. So my job is cat litter. My son's job is trash. My daughter's job is a dishwasher. And my partner's job is finances. And we also, like, there's things that groups of us will do that other ones of us won't do, like... My partner is everything to do with IT, and the kids and I are team yard work. You know, so we do have kind of different split up for maintaining all of the different things.
We have a similar kind of division of labor. I own the house, and we all agreed on like a rent structure, and then we all do different things, and that was baked into it. So because I own the place, I do all the maintenance, I do the lawn work. But like, there's different chores that are divvied up and different.
Yeah.
Just whatever we came to an agreement with. We're all adults. We can figure it out.
And beyond saving money, it can help you afford a place that might be a little bit bigger or in an area closer to your work. So that's another advantage for pooling resources is to be able to afford things otherwise you wouldn't be able to on your own.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, there are drawbacks to this arrangement, just like there's drawbacks to everything. If your fellow roommates or house sharers or polyculers miss payments on rents and utilities, and you're the one who is signed to the lease, if they are unreliable, you might end up having to cover their part, and then their payment issues affect your credit history.
Yep. It is a teamwork thing.
Yeah.
I would recommend, unless you really trust the people involved, I recommend it as a cost-saving measure first, and then a quality of life expansion measure later.
Yeah. And then when you all decide to move, if you have, like, furniture in the common spaces or kitchen gadgets that you all use, people will be like, no, that is my blender or that is my air fryer. And you're like, no, I bought that. And then that can get into
if you're problems. The source prone to arguing, write it down.
Yeah.
That's right? Yeah. And I don't know what percentage that is, because that's the group you always hear about. The people who get along, you never hear their drama. They're like, yeah, we agreed. He gets the oven, I get the couch, whatever. Like, drama over.
It's like, drama over.
Yeah, it's
well,
like...
Well, here's another way that you can have more drama.
Oh!
Is that if you are dating somebody who is a roommate. They were roommates before, then you started dating, and then you broke up, and you're probably going to want to move after that. You have to be extremely mature and chill to keep living with somebody that you are no longer.
You take that back. I am neither mature nor chill.
But it can be done. I think it depends on your preference, because everybody I've dated, after I'm done dating them and it's over, I never speak to that person again. But my brother, on the other hand, still talks to two of his girlfriends that he dated 10 plus years ago. Another thing about roommates or home sharing or polyculing is that you'll have less privacy. So you need people who's... Yeah.
No, it's just... this is the gradient, or one of the gradients we keep discussing, right? It's always time versus money or quality versus money, right?
Yeah.
If you value your privacy a lot, roommates just might be a non-starter for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know, it depends. So I also had my mother and brother living with me, and my mother and brother both say that they prefer each other as roommates, and they do not prefer me as a roommate, because I am a person who is always, like, wondering what they're up to. Whereas the other person is, like, between my mother and brother, like, they are thinking that if the other person died, they probably wouldn't know for a few days. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. You can't be that way. You have to check up on each other at least every day, or not even twice a day. And they're like, no, I am okay if nobody discovers my body for like 3 days later or something like that, because that is how much privacy and space I need with my roommate.
And thank you for listening to A Penny for Your Thought. For your thoughts. And if you want to hear more ways to save on funerals,
right. Just ignore the body for a few days. What? I don't know how that saves you money, but no, I'm kidding. So yeah, you need people's personality who meets yours. I mean, there's the space thing, but there's also, like, if you're a neater person, how are you keeping the common spaces? Like, I remember early on, right after I got up from the military, I had a roommate, and how he solved this is that he kept everything in his room. He shared nothing. Our common area was just this space where I had a yoga mat, but he had a little couch and a TV and everything he needed in his room. And the only thing that we shared was, like, the oven, the microwave, you know, the kitchen stuff, and the washer and dryer machine. And one time I left my stuff in the wash, so he just picked it up and threw it across the kitchen and then did his laundry. So when
Super
I came
mature.
Home, there was just my wet clothes across the kitchen floor. He never spoke to me about it. And I was like, okay, so no longer will I start a wash in the morning and then dry it when I get home. I must watch my laundry, I guess. So I'll do that.
weird. It's not a mature way to handle that.
But yeah, so, and he had a lock on his door in his bedroom too. So, yeah, that's how he handled it. And then I had my bedroom and we just stayed in our bedrooms and, well, I didn't ever throw his laundry around. He never gave me that opportunity. Sad.
Yeah. okay. So over here, we're pretty, we're way more casual about it. Depending on what the thing in the public space is, someone like volunteers up for putting it up there. Like, I've got a fairly nice TV, so I put it out in one of the common spaces and we share that. And yeah, we're all just mature adults.
Well, I think the thing that works is if you have good boundaries. Not only do you have good boundaries, but you're able to set them in a constructive way. Like, if my roommate had been like, hey, can you do laundry on these days? And I do laundry on those days.
Yeah, like,
you know, I would have been like, oh, okay, got it. No problem. You know, you have to set and follow those boundaries. Otherwise, you know, there's potential for, like, people making a lot of noise at weird times of when you don't want that. Like, if they make a lot of noise while you're podcasting or constant favors or borrowing stuff, that can get pretty annoying if you don't have these boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but roommates and home sharing and polycooling, there are other ways to save on rent. You ready to hear it?
Is this going to be like communing and sharing and forming a co-op? No? Other yeah, non-socialist ways of approaching this?
Choosing the right time and location.
Oh.
Yep.
Like shopping around, picking your time to buy. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. How do you do that?
Well, there's some rules of thumb, like renting in the suburbs is cheaper than renting in city centers. However, this is becoming less true, according to CBS News. In 2019, suburban rents were on average 12% cheaper than city rents. But by 2022, this difference had only decreased to about 5.8%.
Interesting, interesting. So it also might be that suburbs are moving further out from cities as urban sprawl happens.
I think it depends on the amenities in the suburban areas and in the metro areas. And some suburban areas have a good little downtown core that functions as, like, it's not quite urban, but it's like a mini version of the urban.
Of course, it's a range. They were talking averages, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you got to think of it as a bell curve, right? The whole bell curve shifts a little to the cheaper end in the suburbs.
Yep. And, so and when
I'm sure you can find a Roach Motel in the middle of a city. It's just, you know, do you want to, right?
Right. Well, and when you're thinking about the location, don't look at the cost of rent plus the amenities. Factor in transportation and gas and parking. Huh?
Yeah.
Because larger metropolitan areas are more expensive than their suburban counterparts, but in smaller metropolitan suburban areas can be, and some even rural areas, can be pricier than the city itself, and transportation costs will increase significantly. Now, this is especially true in Colorado. When you get out to these resort places, they, even though they're super rural, they are super pricey. Yeah. And it's usually... It's interesting how in cities that where the higher the medium home costs, the more homeless people there are. I mean, it makes sense that would be true. But it's kind of like you would think if the homes cost more, there's more affluent people and therefore there shouldn't be any homeless people because there's enough wealth to be spending on these kinds of homes.
Yeah,
but really, the opposite is true. The more expensive homes are, the more people who are there but can't afford to live there.
Well, yeah, this is, again, about bell curves. If you imagine a bell curve that is, you know, most people make the middle amount of money and then, you know, tapers off on the edges, if you move the bell curve up a little bit but then move the house prices up a lot, it's going to be a lot of homeless people.
Yeah. There's actually a famous story going around, or now there's an infamous news story about how Colorado ski resort employees sleep in their vans in the parking lots, and they have to apply for a permit to be able to do so because they cannot afford the employee housing, and ski bums who go up there to ski and don't want to have to pay overnight to stay there want to sleep in their cars too, and they don't want to let people sleep in cars. I mean, it's just, it's getting wacky out here.
Yep. That's the kind of problem that you could solve with a living wage.
Yeah.
That sucks.
We'll let the ski resorts know that. That's our brilliant idea from A Thought for Your Pennies. Hey, did you ever consider paying people a living wage instead of making them sleep in their cars? Just a thought.
It's like, yeah, we thought about that. We like being rich.
Yeah, there you go. And they still come and do the job, so, you know.
That's how capitalism works.
Yeah. Rents are usually cheaper in the winter months because of there's less demand because people want to move in good weather. So if you are willing to move in bad weather and cold weather, you could probably save on rent.
Interesting.
I
hadn't noticed that.
Here is another tactic for having cheaper rent, which is negotiate the price when you rent or renew your lease.
Oh, yeah. And always at least ask.
Yeah, and I have a bunch of different articles about this, and you can save about $50 to $100 a month, and that adds up in a year's time, and many landlords are open to negotiation, especially if there's units that have been vacant for a while, demand is low when it's time to renew your lease, and during off-peak season. But you have to do your research because there's more landlords that are getting together and hub and spoke conspiracies. And I'm talking about things like RealPage, where they are able to figure out how much of their supply they need to keep empty in order to charge the max amount of rents. And they figure that out. They do this price fixing together. So it's getting a little harder and harder to negotiate with your landlords. You have to do really good research and compare rents in nearby areas for similar amenities and build a factual case and talk to your neighbors for how long different properties have been vacant and how often it's been rented.
That is gross. And there have been more than a few of those rings busted up. You know, price fixing things. That's not legal. That's running a cartel by the legal, not the colloquial guns.
But when you're somebody who has a property you want to rent, you probably don't even realize that you are engaging in conspiracy because you just go to this website and tell them what kind of property you have. And then they spit out a number and say, okay, this is how much you should charge. It's hard to realize, like, actually, if all the landlords in the area do that, then it's no longer a competition. It's price fixing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
So other ways to make your rental negotiation attractive, make your offer attractive is, have a great application, offer to sign a longer lease if you can, over 14 months, and to end it in a busy season. A longer lease can lock in the rate. You can make concessions like offering to pay rent ahead of time, agreeing to a unit that has not been updated or renovated. Offer to give up amenities that you can do without, like, I don't need a parking space, I don't need this storage space, move to a less desirable unit within the property, ask if you can help around the property in exchange for lower rent. Now, this is definitely true. So when I was born, my parents didn't have a house. They had just moved to Shaw Air Force Base, and that's where I was born. And so my dad went from trailer park to trailer park and negotiated a cheaper rent price for the first trailer I ever lived in by agreeing to be the part-time maintenance man.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that worked in the 80s. I hope it still works today that you could still get a negotiate that.
My suspicion is that fewer of these techniques work with big companies. Like, I wouldn't try to go to Lund, the place that owns like 10% of the surface area of Omaha, and try this stuff. They probably just say, here's the price. Take it or leave it.
Right.
But if you find someone who owns like a duplex and they're like trying to rent out the other half, they're probably pretty open to bargaining chips.
Yeah.
And so
you can offer to help with yard work, light maintenance, cleaning stuff, trash management, or find new tenants for other units.
Interesting. Yeah. Anything you can do that seems like it either makes a bargaining chip that you can offer or is leverage you have. Because if you actually if you've actually been approved to go somewhere else, or you're considering buying a house and you have a letter of pre-approval from a bank that you can afford a house, you can say, hey, I have these options. I can go rent. I can go buy a house and it will cost me this much money, or you can keep renting to me. It won't be worth it if you raise my rent. But you have to actually have leverage. And that's hard if you don't have money.
Right. Well, one of the leverage points that you could have is use the problems as a negotiating point. realestate.usnews.com talked about that when a renter's whose lease was up for renewal, a new building was under construction across the street. And so, quote, I was able to get $200 off a month of my rent for that year by simply asking and citing the construction as a nuisance that I would have to endure, end quote. So that's how somebody was able to save on their rent when their lease renewal was up. But at the same time, it's a little tricky when you're renewing your lease. Don't discuss renewing a lease too early, because if they know that you're considering not staying, they might put out feelers for the next tenant. And if they're doing that, then they're like, well, I'm not going to negotiate with you for a cheaper lease because I already got five other people who want your spot. So if your landlord wants to know far in advance if you're going to stay or go, don't really answer until you're ready to negotiate. But this is also where it helps to have a good relation with your relationship with your landlord.
Yeah, if you're in an adversary relationship, like fundamentally you always are if it's a big company, this is good advice. Yeah. If your landlord is your friend and you've known them for a bajillion years, you might be able to get away with less. But even then, they're the landlord. There's a power dynamic imbalance. You have to be aware of that.
Right. Another way that you can save on rent is using cashback or reward apps. There are some banks or platforms that offer cashback or points when paying rent through their services. So a caveat is when thinking about these services, it's essential to review any associated fees or charges to ensure that the rewards earned outweigh the costs.
Yeah, that is interesting. I hadn't considered that. I have seen a couple times where there were points for paying paying towards my mortgage. So
makes sense. That's there for rent, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And our final way of saving money when it's time to rent is to avoid broker fees. This is according to PolicyGenius.com. But in cities with high demand, broker fees can be as high as 15% of the annual rent.
Wait, 50?
No, 15.
I mean, it's still bad, but okay. Yeah. Okay, that's sane. Okay. Yeah. So, a broker, is this someone who goes and finds you an apartment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've never looked for an apartment in a place crowded enough to need a broker, but okay.
Yep. So, you want to rent directly from landlords and property managers and look for no-fee listings on websites that offer filters for them.
Okay, so go to Zillow and check the no-fee box.
Right. Zumper, Trulia, Zillow, Apartments.com, Rent Cafe, Redfin. These are all websites that should have no fee listings.
Nice.
Because if it's a fee listing, that means there's a broker. You don't want that.
Okay. Okay.
Well, that's it. I think we have anything else to save on rent?
I mean, you could always just come to Nebraska and live amongst the corn.
I remember seeing a social media post where this guy was like, I just go out on my front porch and fire off a few shots from my gun every once in a while to keep the gentrifiers away. That's one way to save on rent. It's just like, I don't know about moving into this neighborhood.
That's it's not legal in Omaha proper, but like it's legal in Ashland. It's legal in Gretna. It's legal in Bell. Yeah, okay. Go for it.
But just to go out on your front porch and fire into the sky?
Sure, why not? It's Nebraska. We don't have rules. No, we have corn. You want a job? Screw you. Corn.
Have not really looked up whether or where that's legal in Colorado. I'm amazed that you know in the Omaha metro area that is not allowed. How did you find this out?
Not
all
the
right.
Hard
well,
way?
This is a thought for your pennies. And if we've missed some ways to save money on rent, you know, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com or give us a call at 970-425-3060 and leave us a short message and we will share it with others so that we can all learn how to save money together.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thought for Your Pennies. I'm Shauna and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I managed to save 2 pennies, and I'm going to donate them to the survivor of the L.A. fires.
The one survivor's getting both your pennies. That's so generous. Squeaky. I
can't keep up. That's right. I'll find a few more pennies and donate to the survivors at linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Yep. Helping each other out whenever there are problems is a great thing we should all be doing, even if we can't make it through a simple ad read without laughing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky. And just because I fire a gun into the air to lower property values and the cops join in doesn't mean they'll protect me from the scammers.
Oh, all right. That is a key learning for people about power dynamics. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe we'll just go on.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
You don't want me to talk about my favorite song? Blow a Kiss, Fire a Gun?
I'm glad that was your favorite song, and you really wanted to show me and the producer that between segments there. The audience is just going to miss out. They're going to hear a commercial, and we're going to have been regaled by...
Blow a Kiss, Fire a Gun.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that you two had never heard of the song before, the song of 2015, Blowing a Kiss of Fire a Gun. We all need somebody to lean on.
You mentioned a band name. I didn't even know the band.
I don't know who the band name or anything about them either. I just like the idea of...
being violent towards landlords?
Well, blowing a kiss. You know, firing a gun. It's like the duality.
I can only imagine you doing one of those things.
Okay, so let's get into our segment, which is recognizing rental scams, right? We talked about how do you save on rentals, and now let's talk about the scams because, oh boy, Squeaky, are you mad already? Have you even heard of the scams? Can you think of the scams?
I'm just disappointed.
Okay, well, here's the first thing about rental scams.
Oh, no.
When it's too good to be true.
I'm bracing.
Okay. An unusually low rent compared to other properties in the same area could be a sign of a scam, especially if you can't really see any downsides to the property that could justify it. So be wary of rental pictures that look too good to be true, featuring high-end amenities with unusually low rent, and perform a reverse image search on the listing photos to see if they appear elsewhere online. I have talked about before how this happened to me where I was searching for a rental property for my friend, and it was actually a real estate listing that they were pretending was a rental listing.
Yeah, this is the thing where somebody will like take an image from Zillow, list it, ask for money up front for like an approval fee or something, and then disappear.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Look Gross. Out for rental listings that contain errors, typos, poor grammar, excessive punctuation, overuse of capital letters, and strange formatting. So if the listing is like, great view of the mountains, exclamation, 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 exclamation,
Hang on.
Exclamation.
I just refuse to believe that. There is too many like old retirees who just discovered emoji. They're like, rent my second house, hugging face emoji, American flag, fireworks, yes. It's just, okay, fine.
You think that's legit?
I mean, it'll make me look, but like, I'm not going to call it a scam just because someone doesn't know how to stop using their keyboard.
Okay, all right. Well, another thing that kind of goes into this is, because it could be if you know the identity of the listing contact, verify that. And you could be like, OK, I can understand why there's 45 emojis in this listing with the type of person this is.
Yeah. Okay.
So ask, but verify the listing contact, right? Ask for a business card, business license number, real estate license number, if it's an agent, and check it in your state's database. Check the email domain, look for supplemental ways to verify their identity beyond just a phone number, and check several sites to see if the listing appears elsewhere with the same contact information.
In principle, all that stuff is a great idea, but you said check with the business licensing number. I'm like, oh, you don't need one of those to rent here. Check with the state database. I don't think we have one of those.
Okay.
This is Nebraska. We have corn. Check with the corn.
Like, communicate with the corn. It's a scam. Wow, the corn has spoken.
Yeah, if it's a picture of a real estate listing and there's a cornfield in the background, it's probably a scam.
So what you do is you take a Ouija board and you grab a fistful of corn kernels and then just throw it at the board, and the corn will tell you. No, maybe
you can't
not.
See
That's
it, but
not
my
how
eyes
you do
are
that.
Going wide. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Behavior. Okay.
I'm like, this is some real. I don't know. I got nothing.
You were like, I was just joking about the corn, but. She was there when the corn was first grown, so. Like, you can't. Right.
But seriously, you were red flags on listings and alternate ways to verify. Alternate ways to verify is always good, right?
Right.
So yeah, just don't take their word for it. Figure out how you can prove that they're them.
Cross-reference. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, beware if you feel pressured to lease right away. Scammers use high-pressure sales tactics. Another one is when you're asked for money up front, deposit, first month's rent, before you've even toured the property or signed a lease.
That's gross, yeah. Because best case scenario, it's a legitimate business person trying to lock you in, but that's skeezy as hell. Don't fall for that.
Don't do that. And, okay, so this one is a little complicated. You know that there has to be a credit check involved, right? Because they want to check your credit to make sure that you can actually pay whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But scammers also might set up fake credit checks to just steal your information, and that's the scam.
Oh, where they say, go to this webpage, fill this thing out, and it's full of crap, and it just takes your info?
I have yet to be scammed this way to first person verify, but according to the different sources on rental scams, which is we went to Zillow, Experian, Avail.co, cross-referencing those websites, they have said that that could be the case.
Well, how about this? As a software developer, it would take me about a weekend to set up a fake form to capture your data. And there's no rules against me registering securecreditcheck.co.nz or whatever.
Okay, so Squeaky, this is supposed to be against scammers, not how-to guide. Another thing you could do is if a listing contact asks urgently for personally identifiable information before a tour, they could be trying to do identity theft. So only give basic information during the pre-application process or before touring the property.
Yeah, it should be a complex handshake to get in for a tour. You shouldn't need to give them credit card numbers or your social security number or anything.
Yep. Be wary of unexpected communication, asking for login credentials or other personal information. Always verify the sender's identity first.
Yeah. Yep. Verify some way. Verify by some mechanism they didn't give you.
Another thing that you can look for is if the person listing the rental is unwilling to meet in person and offers excuses, even if you can't meet, they should be able to do a real-time video walkthrough.
Yeah, that's a great compromise today. There's a ton of people who have second houses, but like a place that they've left. Like there's tons of military people who buy a house, then move because they're reassigned by the government to go somewhere. And even they will find a way to get FaceTime with you. Or they'll have somebody who's like their agent who will do it for them there.
Yeah. And so more on this is if you cannot tour the property, always ask to see the property before signing a lease or putting down a deposit. Make sure it's the exact unit or a similar one that you will be renting. If you're remote, ask a trusted local friend or an associate to tour it or work with a local agent. Even a self-guided tour via lockbox is offered. Exercise caution.
Yeah, just be careful and always check. I wouldn't ever rent a place without being able to see it. That's nuts.
Yeah. You also have to be careful if you can't verify that the property is actually for rent. Like you can't track it back to a property management website or a government record.
Yeah. If someone is committing some kind of fraud, if there's a way to
they're
check
externally.
They're
actually just squatting the place. Yeah, you can come rent this. No problem.
Like, I'm going to sublet my apartment that I'm squatting in.
Don't sign an incomplete lease.
You mean like a lease that they can finish writing after you've signed it? What?
I guess so. If they are like, oh, yeah, we want you to rent this for 12 months, but we'll fill that in later. Sign now.
That's
sure all
gross.
The parts are filled out. Yeah.
That's up there with don't rent with someone who wants you to pay in Apple gift cards. Just no. Just don't.
Yeah. Before you hand over any money, verify that the person posting the listing actually owns or controls a property by doing your online research or checking property records at the local assessor's office or county clerk.
Oh, so this is in principle really good, but the way property ownership is tracked in the U.S. is messed up. So you know these title companies, right? Their whole reason to exist is to trace back deeds and property back until like it was initially declared by the U.S. as a thing that could be bought and sold. So sometimes there isn't a government record in like a whole bunch of places. So you might have to go to a title company and request and have them verify this. And that usually costs money. It's usually not a lot, but still, it's just if you're in a situation where you're renting, it's a hard ask.
I mean, this is why if there's a reputable rental company in your area, you know, then
low risk.
Yeah, lower risk, or having to be like a private investigator yourself, calling the title company to make sure that this is legit or not, right?
Time versus money. If you want to invest a ton of time, you can vet anything.
Now, here's your favorite way of scamming. Squeaky, you already mentioned it.
Oh, but no.
We're going to mention it specifically, which is do not pay in untraceable forms of payment like wire transfers, prepaid debit cards, cryptocurrency, or
Apple gift cards.
Yeah. Don't okay. not gift cards.
I'm okay. Okay. But I can still pay in my Starbucks gift cards. We're good.
No.
We're good. No.
Nope. Because legitimate landlords usually do not accept these.
Scooters gift cards.
Nope. Still no.
Oh.
Insist on paying any fees, deposit, or rent through your bank via ACH transfer, credit card, debit card, as these have clear, traceable records.
Now, I presume there's a couple reasons for that. Otherwise, you would have followed it with reasons. Things like, you can cancel those things. You can report fraud on those things.
There's fraud protection. Yep, yep.
If they try to say you didn't pay, you can say, hey, my bank paid.
Right, here it is. Yep,
okay.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
And ask if the landlord has a website or online service with secure rent payment capabilities.
They send you a link to their webpage. It's just a fake crypto exchange.
And you're like, oh, I got half a Bitcoin. I could have a lot of fun with this. If you're looking for a roommate, here's another way you want to make sure you don't get scammed by a roommate.
Okay.
You need to schedule an in-person or virtual meeting and consider doing a basic background check, verifying employment and income, and requesting references.
Yeah, if you're trying to meet a roommate in the wild, building trust is hard. And if you guys both agree to let each other do background checks. Huh?
Yeah, in the wild. That is something difficult to manage. I think, like, you could just put something on Craigslist and hope for the best, but you probably, probably want some... like, something else.
I didn't run a background check on my weirdo communist polycule. We've just known each other
and
forever.
It shows.
Thank you. Aww.
The power of friendship.
And this gun.
If you suspect that you're a victim of any sort of fraud scheme, contact your bank immediately to see if you can cancel transactions. File a complaint with the police, the FBI, the Federal Trade Commission. You can also report to the Internet Crime Complaint Center, which is acronym IC3. Yeah. Yeah. They're getting better with these acronyms. Yeah.
Okay.
Report the fraudulent listing to the website where you found it. And if you report... part of the scam is that if you provided sensitive personal or financial information, set up a fraud alert on your credit reports.
And that actually isn't that hard. You do have to do it three times because you want to do it for at least the big three.
The three major
Experian,
credit reporting agencies, Experian. Yep.
TransUnion, Equifax.
Yep. Yep.
Right. And it's free. It doesn't cost money. And then it does mean that if you go to get a loan or something, you're going to get a phone call and asked, is this legit?
Mm-hmm.
But but it'll keep scammers from using that stuff immediately.
And finally, keep all copies of the communications with the possible scammer.
Yeah. Evidence for later.
Evidence.
Makes sense.
Yep. Yep. So, renter protections. According to Investopedia and ShelterForce.org, tenant protections in the United States can vary significantly across federal, state, and local levels, so it's important that you do your research on what your rights are. You can check the website of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for information specific to where you live, so that is at www.hud.gov.
I wish this was a joke, so we could say we're not reusing it, but, like, use that while we have it.
Yeah. Because generally speaking, you as a tenant have rights. You have the right to live in a safe and healthy home that meets basic building and safety standards. That means working electricity and plumbing, including hot water, and being free from pests I remember one time the hot water broke in a place that I was renting, and I immediately checked into a hotel, and they were like, everything else with your unit is fine. You just have no hot water. And I'm like, that is unsanitary. I need hot water. You cannot have me live in a place without hot water. And I was right. So they had to pay for my hotel stay.
Nice.
But yeah, you have to have working electricity, plumbing, and you cannot have pests or a huge amount of mold. That is your right. You also have a right to privacy. Landlords must provide advance notice, commonly at least 24 hours before entering your place, except if there's an emergency.
Yeah. So a lot of this varies location by location, mm-hmm. but even the most freewheeling Wild West places I've lived have had rules like the landlord can't just barge in.
Yeah.
But then the what services have to be provided, that's a little more sketch.
Yeah, I have heard plenty of stories where it's like, cannot get the landlord to get rid of these bed bugs. Cannot get the landlord to fix my heat. Yeah.
I think where I've lived in Nebraska and Iowa, I think heat and AC are treated pretty importantly, but I don't think hot water, I think they're loose on that.
How long can you go without hot water? I didn't want to find out.
Nope. You did it the right way.
Yeah.
Know your rights. Know that they have to cover it. And every day you spent in the hotel, encourage them to fix it.
Yep. So the U.S. In the U.S., there is a law called the Fair Housing Act. It's facing ongoing legal battles and policy debates, but it guarantees you the right to not be treated unfairly because of your race, color, religion, sex, disability, family status, or where you come from. And the protection can also extend to things like your age, veteran status, or how you get your income.
This is that DEI thing they're getting rid of, isn't it?
Well, sorry. The Fair Housing Act is older than the DEI trend that's recent. I'm not saying DEI is worse than the Fair Housing Act or one or the other. I'm just saying this has been around for a minute.
I'm super pro leveling the playing field, and I'm sorry to keep coming back to politics. It just, these are the exact kind of things that certain people are trying to erase, and it sucks.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you are disabled, you have the right to request reasonable changes from your landlord to help you use and enjoy your home.
Like a ramp. Even here in Nebraska, you can get a ramp.
Yeah. So those are some of the rights that you have to get into a home. And while you're there, but you also have rights to stay there. If your landlord wants to evict you, they have to give you advance notice, usually in writing, but the amount of notice varies in different states. I had to evict one of my roommates, so I know that in Colorado, it's 60 days of written notice.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I want to say it's like 40 here and like 90 in Iowa. It varies, though.
Yeah. In some places, there are rules about how much your rent can be increased, and you might even have the right to have the first chance to buy your building if it goes up for sale.
Interesting. So somebody can't kick you out of renting a house and then sell it to someone else if they don't at least entertain your offer? I'm sure there's rules about that, but because there's a lot of ways that can go south.
Do you as a tenant have a right to come together with other tenants to protect your rights without being harassed or facing retaliation from your landlord? Tenants unions are actually very, very powerful, and more people should do them.
More or less powerful than Voltron?
With our powers combined, we form rent control.
It's pretty powerful.
Captain Planet, yeah, right?
So if you're... Yeah. Of the Planeteer powers, should you never use the fire one against your landlord?
I mean, I think what landlords need most is heart.
Way to spin the positive. Okay, okay.
If your landlord wants to evict you, in some places you have the right to what's called a good cause eviction, meaning your landlord can't just end your lease for no reason if you're a good tenant. And you may also have the right to legal help.
The right to legal help, like as in who's paying for that? Because if it's a right, then you're not paying for it, I presume. But it might just mean you get to pay for a lawyer. They can't stop you from bringing a lawyer in. Like they can't force arbitration.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is on rental scams. And another tip I have to offer is that one time I was leaving a place that I had rented out, and I took pictures before I came in, and I took pictures as I left the place. So they sent me a letter saying that they couldn't give me my deposit back because of all these damages. My roommate happened to be a lawyer, and I happened to have the photos of pre and post rent. So we sent them a nice little letter from a law firm along with the pictures, and I got my deposit back.
Nice.
Yep.
Way to call them on their BS.
Yeah.
It's more of that leverage thing. If you're going to negotiate.
Yep. And you don't need to have a lawyer friend to do this. A lot of times people are like, okay, well, how can I do that if I don't really have a lawyer friend? My work offers legal services as part of its benefits. So if I have an issue where I think my landlord is trying to keep my deposit for no good cause, you can access legal services there. But my partner also paid for a service called Legal Shield. It's like $200 or $300 a year. And it is perfect for things like this. It's also what I use to be able to evict my roommate. I use Legal Shield to help me figure out how to do this. But yeah, that's a good way to be able to ask or get a lawyer for everyday legal matters that you might come across for things like this. If there's other rental scams that we miss that you want to let us know about, give us tips so that we can save money together, please reach out to thoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com, or you can give us a call at 970-425-3060 and leave us a short message that we will share on air so we can learn how to save money together.
I'm going to ask the Polycule if they want to start paying in coffee house gift cards.
You do that, Squeaky.
I think it'll work.